Colossians 1, Paul said to the Corinthian church, and I'm not going to take time to turn there, he said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And you know, this is the time of year that there's a lot of emphasis put upon Thanksgiving. I see people on Facebook that they go on there and each day they put something they're thankful for, and I always enjoy reading those. But I'll tell you, there's nothing that I'm more thankful for than the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Because so many of the things that we thank God for, and we should thank, the Bible says in everything give thanks. We should give thanks, but most of the material things that we think or that we're thankful for can be taken away, can be lost. But there are things that we have as a member of the body of Christ, as being in Christ, that can never be taken away. And I want to talk to you about those things this morning. I want to welcome those that have joined us via the internet. When I was in Colorado last Sunday, I had the opportunity to tune in and was amazed at the number of people that were online there, and was more amazed at the number of places that were represented, the different locations. I think there was at one time 38 people online, and most of those are couples, and some of those are Bible study groups. I know we have a group in Texas, I have a group in Kansas, I have some folks up in Colorado, and very thankful for those that tune in via the internet. It's like another church family, and I always enjoy hearing from them. Colossians chapter 1, of course, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians are the three prison epistles that Paul wrote to churches during the late part of his ministry. And so, because it's late in his ministry, we have some truths revealed to us that we don't find earlier in his epistles when he was dealing, for example, with the Corinthian church about problems they were having. He did the same with the church at Galatia. But when he writes to the churches of Philippi and Colossae and Ephesus, most of it has to do with reminding those churches of what they have in Christ and then what God expects of us who are in Christ. If you take Colossians, for example, Colossians chapter 1 and 2 generally talk about what those people have as a result of being saved. And chapters 3 and 4 deal primarily with what they should do. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he said, if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And so, I want us to look at some things today about what we have in Christ and some things that we should always and forever be eternally grateful for that which we have in Him. If you start there in, well, let's just start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So the first thing that I see about this church at Colossae is that these people were saved people. And Paul makes mention of that, and he acknowledges that. And not only does he acknowledge it, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. The fact is today, folks, is there are many people who call themselves Christians. There are people who go to church, but they're not in Christ Jesus. And the fact is the reason they're not is because many have never heard the truth of the gospel. He said down there in verse 6, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. There's only one way that a person can be saved today. Now, I know that people make the statement, everybody's going to heaven, we're just taking different roads to get there. No, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Any person, listen now, could be somebody sitting in this auditorium, could be somebody out there on the internet listening, could be somebody that's listening to this message later on after it's archived on the internet. Matters not who you are, where you are. If you are depending on something that you did in your flesh in order to get saved, then you're not saved. Say, well, that's a pretty bold statement. No, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul said in Romans, if by grace it is no more of works. And our apostle said that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That banner back behind me there has the words of that gospel. Simply believing the historic facts that those words present really means nothing. It just means you believe historical facts. The historical facts are that Jesus Christ came to earth. He was the Son of God. He died on a cross. He was put to death. And the Bible says that He died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Now, there are multitudes of people that would say, well, I believe that, and yet they believe that there's something that they have to do within themselves in order to be saved. And if they don't believe that, there are those who believe that if they are saved, if they sin or fall back into sin, and I get this one all the time, well, what if you go back into unbelief? Well, listen, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the moment you trust Him, and when I say trust Him, I'm talking about believing those words up there. Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised again the third day, according to Scriptures. That's the faith that Paul preached. That's the faith that he talks about, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. If you believe that and trust in that, then you are saved, sealed unto the day of redemption, and there is nothing that you can do in your flesh that will change that. Now, I know that infuriates people that believe that they can lose their salvation. But as we were talking about earlier in the time of testimonies there, one of the great blessings of salvation by grace is knowing that my eternal security is not dependent upon my ability to continue. It's not upon my ability to confess all of my sins and make sure that they're all forgiven. Christ took care of that. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And we are sealed in the day of redemption. That's a great blessing. And I want to tell you something. If you are saved, you ought to thank God every day for the salvation that you have in Christ Jesus. Because He did it. It's not anything I did. Not anything your husband or wife did. It's all about what Christ did. It's not about joining the church. It's not about coming down to the altar and praying through and holding out or letting go or being baptized or joining the church. None of those things. Now, a saved person could do those things and be misled. I understand that. But the question is, what are you trusting in? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what you can do? This very moment, right where you're sitting there, whether in your home or in this church right here, in this church building, if you by faith would trust in Jesus Christ and receive the free gift of salvation, God Almighty will save you in a heartbeat. I've heard people over the years say, well, it just couldn't be that simple. You just don't know the kind of life that I live. You just don't know how bad I am. Well, what does that have? Let me ask you something. What does what you do in your flesh have to do with what took place 2,000 years ago? Nothing. You see, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died for all of your sins. Don't make any difference what the sin was or what it is. You see, religion has taught people, well, if I can't get saved until I'm ready to live the Christian life. You need to get saved and then worry about living the Christian life. Salvation has been provided as a free gift. I've told the story numerous times about that fellow I was witnessing to up in Dayton, Tennessee, after the Bible study there, and I asked him if he was saved, and he said, well, I got a problem, and he patted his chest right there, and I said, you got a heart problem? He said, no, it's these cigarettes. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, I can't get saved till I can quit smoking. I said, you better get saved now and then worry about quit smoking later. Now, where did that fellow hear that? He didn't hear that down at the bar room. He didn't hear that down there at the tavern. He heard that from some religious person that lied to him and told him he had to clean up his life to get saved. I got some good news for you folks. It matters not what you did yesterday, what you do today, or what you're going to do tomorrow. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the moment you do that, God Almighty will seal you unto their redemption. It's not about you making a commitment to the Lord to forsake all of your sin. I had an aunt that for all of her adult life was an alcoholic. She never was able to conquer that. And the last family reunion we had, I heard her and my other aunt who went to a huge church, the first church. And this one was very religious. And she told my aunt it was an alcoholic. She said, you've got to quit drinking. I don't want you to die and go to hell. And my aunt told her, Mary and I were in the room next to her. She said, don't you worry for a moment about me dying and going to hell. She said, what do you mean? She said, I've got a Savior. Jesus Christ died for my sins at Calvary. You know what? I put my money on her being in heaven today and my other aunt not. Because my other aunt, when my mother passed away, she said, oh, I want to live a good life so I can go and be with Catherine whenever I die. I said, listen, living a good life doesn't have anything to do with it. Folks, I know sometimes people think we're too hard on religion. We're too hard on churches that preach works and so forth. We're talking about life and death here. We're talking about the simplicity of the gospel and how easy it is to be saved. If you'll just trust Jesus Christ, it's not about your flesh. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. And walking after the flesh in that verse, if you go through and study that, you will see walking after the flesh is putting confidence in the flesh and trusting in that in order to get saved. These Colossians, they had the hope. He said, we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. We can be thankful for our salvation, and we can also be thankful that we have a hope beyond this present evil world. Why do we have that hope? Well, the Bible says up there in verse 13, notice what he says, who hath delivered, well, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Redemption through his blood. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, and we can give thanks unto him. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, said that we're accepted in the blood. And notice what he says in verse 12. I love this verse. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. You ought to run some references on that word sometime, the word meet. It has to do with, like, when God made the woman, what did he say? She was a helpmeet for the man. And if you look at the Hebrew and the Greek meaning of that word, it has to do with everything that is needed. Think about that. Giving thanks unto the Father which has done everything needed. He's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know what, folks? I was thinking about that verse the other day and thinking about how people go through their life trying to do enough good works and be good enough so that they can be prepared to go into heaven. It ain't going to happen. The only way you're going to get into heaven is to be in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ Jesus, God doesn't see you in the sinfulness of your flesh. He sees you in Christ Jesus. You're accepted in the blood, and you've been made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul said that he is going to preserve us unto his heavenly kingdom. He said in verse 13, he's delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness. I was watching a program the other day where a lady had some type of mental disorder and she could see fine, but she wanted to be blind. She poured Drano in her eyes. Blinded herself. And as I was sitting listening to all the details about that, I thought about how many times people go and sit in a church and they're blinded. Look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom, notice, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Their minds have been blinded by the lie, by false teaching. And Paul said it's the God of this world that's blinded the minds of them which believe not. He said over there to the Colossians, he said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. And the way that people's eyes are blinded today is by false teaching, false doctrine, another gospel, preaching another Jesus, and on it goes. Go back there to Colossians chapter 1. He said, he's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. And he's translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. We're already there. We've been translated into the kingdom. Paul said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And we're already part of that. We're just waiting for the redemption of the body. We're saved. We're sealed. We're delivered from the power of darkness. Now, along with that, there comes responsibility. Hold on here in Colossians and look back, or look in Ephesians. Look back in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, what Paul is saying to these Ephesians is, you ought not to walk in the same manner that you walked prior to your salvation. But that walk has nothing to do with your salvation. That's where religion has it all messed up. They have the walk bringing about salvation. That's not the way it works. The salvation comes through faith in Christ Jesus, trusting in what He did for us at Calvary. The work is that which God has determined that we should do, and He says we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus and two good works, but it never affects our salvation. Can't do it. So in Colossians, He says He's delivered us from the power of darkness. If you walk in darkness today, you do it willfully, because you have the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, and you have the light of the Word of God. The psalmist said, the Word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. It is a light, folks. We don't have to walk in darkness. We can walk in light. He says He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And then notice in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through His blood, not through our works. Look back at Acts chapter 20. Hold on here in Colossians. Go back to Acts chapter 20. I remember when I was a young man that there was a movement that was going on to get the idea of blood out of religion. There was one denomination that took it completely out of their hymn book. All references to the blood. Didn't like that bloody religion. And yet, the Bible says that we are bought with a price. That price was His blood. Look over there in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Look in Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. We're a blood-bought church, folks. We're a blood-bought body. He purchased us with His own blood. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Look in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, Romans 5, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified, how? By His blood we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Listen, folks, you get the idea after a while when you read the Scriptures that the blood is pretty important. Why? Because He spilt His blood. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that no man can by any means redeem his brother. There was only one person that could provide redemption for a lost and dying world, and that was the only begotten Son of God, and He purchased us, He said, with His own blood. That's what set Jesus Christ apart from mankind. He had the very blood of God flowing through His veins, and He died, and He spilt that blood, typified by those Old Testament sacrifices, and He became the sacrifice that was acceptable when He died for our sins and spilt His blood. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Folks, that's something to be thankful for. For the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed there at Calvary. He died for our sins. He shed his blood as a payment for our sins. He bought us with his own blood. So back there in Colossians, Paul says to them, he says, you're saved. You've been delivered from darkness. You've been made meet to be partakers of inheritance in light. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And notice over in verse 21. He says in verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You see, the Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Go back again to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You see, prior to the salvation of the Apostle Paul, according to the covenant God had made with Israel, there was not salvation for people like you and I, according to what we read in Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible says we were strangers to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. He didn't say that you were strangers because of the things you were doing in your flesh. He says because of who you were. The promises for the kingdom originally were made to Israel. God promised them a kingdom. When he saved the Apostle Paul, we became part of that kingdom of, or the possibility of having a part in that kingdom of God, and our inheritance is in the heavenly places. But notice what he said in Romans chapter, I said Romans 10, go back to Romans 5. Romans 5 is what I wanted. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Look down in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now notice, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of the Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see what your position was, folks, as a lost individual? Enemies of God. That's the last person in the world you want to be an enemy of. But you know what? When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you pass from being an enemy to being a child of God, accepted in the beloved and adopted son into the family of God Almighty himself. Paul said we've been saved, we've been delivered from darkness, we've been redeemed, and we've been reconciled by the blood of Christ. But there's something else. Look there in Colossians chapter 1 again. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you realize, folks, I know it's a hard concept sometimes to get a hold of. But Christ, the very life of Christ, indwells every saved individual. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I believe that's how God Almighty identifies those that are His at His coming. Christ in us. Think about this. If God does not see us in our flesh, what does He see? He sees us in Christ and Christ in us. He doesn't see the flesh. And Paul said that's one of the riches of this mystery, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. The mystery is not Christ in us. The mystery has to do with the fact that Jesus Christ died for people who were outside the covenants of promise, gave the message to the Apostle Paul, and brought in a new program, the dispensation of the grace of God. And thus Paul says, we preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And that mystery has to do with all the things that we've been talking about, all that we have in Christ. But the glory of that mystery is that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's that hope again. And Paul goes on to say there, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So we've been saved, delivered from darkness, made to be meet, redeemed, reconciled, and we have Christ indwelling us. But there's two other things that Paul says, look in Colossians chapter 2, that are of utmost importance. Colossians 2 verse 1, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, and the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, even though these people were saved, Paul had some concern about them being led astray. It's entirely possible for a saved person to get off track and teach things that are not according to the Scriptures and so forth. And that's why it says there, I have great conflict. I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you. Now, when he gets down to verse 10, he says, for you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, I want you to consider what he says in verses 4 through 9. We quote that verse all the time in verse 10, you're complete in Him. But that is concluding a series of verses that talk about some people that are going to try to overthrow your faith or to cause you to depart from the soundness of the mystery truth. Notice what he says. Verse 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You see that word he said there? Folks, if you're saved and you know the truth, you ought to abound in thanksgiving continually for that truth. But notice what the warning is in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Notice now, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now why did he put that verse at the end of those verses that are warnings? Because I'm going to tell you why. When he says there, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men, and rudiments of the world, most of those teachings in religion have to do with trying to show people that there's something they need to do in their flesh in order to be complete in Christ. Some folks left this church years ago, and I got a bulletin from their church. And their statement of faith said that they are preaching the truth, desiring to bring people to a completeness in Christ. I got some good news for you. If you're saved, you're complete in Christ. And excuse the English, but you can't get any completer than that. You're complete in Christ. Now, are there things you need to do in your life for Christ's sake? Yes, but what Paul is talking about here is our standing before God Almighty. And what churches want to tell you is that you've got to give your money, you've got to attend church, you've got to get baptized, you've got to live it, you've got to do this, you can't do this, and if you go here, go there, do that. And there's all this kind of garbage out there that make people think that they're not even saved or that they're working to be complete in Christ. Well, the Bible says, ye are complete in Him. And I'm telling you, that's shouting ground there, folks. We're complete. There's nothing you can add to what Christ did. All you can do is accept it. And he goes on to say, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. We know why Paul addressed that. Back in Acts 15, there were those at Jerusalem said, except you be circumcised, you can't be saved. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith, the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. There are those today that say, if you're not baptized, then you're not saved. And then Paul says, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Think about that. A dead person could do nothing. You were dead in sins. And you know what God did? He did everything for your dead spirit and soul that needed to be done. And all you had to do was accept it. You talking about giving thanks? Thank God for His unspeakable gift. Thank God for all that we have in Christ. Should all of that motivate us to serve Him? Absolutely, I think it should. But let me tell you something. Don't ever let anybody tell you that what you're doing in your flesh is to pay Him back for what He did for you. You could never do it. But you can serve Him and be motivated. When Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us, he's not talking about our love for Christ constrains us. He's talking about Christ's love for us constrains us. And we need to be constrained and motivated to live for Him and serve Him. But it has nothing to do with our salvation. Paul said to those Colossians, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for you. Because you're saved. You've been delivered from darkness. You've been redeemed. You've been reconciled. You have Christ dwelling in you. You're complete in Christ. And you're forgiven all trespasses. Thank God for all that we have in His Son, Jesus Christ. Should we be thankful for the physical things that we have? Certainly. But above everything else, folks, these things, think about it, these things are things that can never be taken away from you. They will be yours for eternity because they're in Christ Jesus. Would you stand with me for prayer?